Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network. We're located out of Memphis, Tennessee. I'm talking to you this evening from Redmond, Washington. But get ready, settle down, sit back, and relax, because we're going to go on a cosmic journey. I have a wonderful guest on my show tonight, Lorelei Shimayo, and you're going to love what she's sharing. She's got some good stuff and new things I haven't heard of before, so I know you really enjoy, you know, what she's going to bring to the show. But before I do bring Lorelei in, I want to talk about the RBR Network. We have many shows all week long, and I wanted to share with you what you'd be able to listen to on Mondays. My show is always at 6:30 Central Standard Time, 4:30 Pacific Coast Time. That's Cosmic Contact Show, the favorite show of all of them. And then on Tuesday, the I Am Well Show is at 8 p.m., and that's at Central Standard Time. The Night Search Show is at 9:30 p.m. Then Wednesday is the No Show, that's at 7 p.m., The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program that comes on at 8. Remember, these are all Central Standard Time. The Progressive News Weekly Show is at 5:30. And then Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show, and that's at 1 p.m. On Friday also is the Dream Vision 7 Show, and that's at 3 p.m. And Saturday we have Soul Town, The Sound of Music, which comes from Memphis, Tennessee. Sunday is the Dream Vision 7 show, and that is from Boston, and that's at 3 p.m. So now you have the rundown of all the shows that we offer, and they're all great. They have wonderful guests on the shows, and I'm sure that if you just call in, you would find something interesting to listen to all week long. And but this evening, I want to talk about my guest. Her name again is Lorelei Shimayo. She is a leadership, life, and a love coach. She is amazing, and she's very insightful and intuitive. Together with an engaging and present heart, she has a great heart. Her energy is wonderful. She did a reading for me at the Northwest Psychic Fair recently where I met her, and we talked about her being on my show. But her passion is Thrive Types Intuitive Eye Readings, and she's going to explain all that and what that means. But it's where she combines with her training in body psychology and several other modalities of psychotherapy, leadership plus love plus coaching and business consulting. So she can cover all areas with this work that she does. Lorelei mixes science with the art of claircognizance, clairsentience, and clairempathy. I love that clairempathy, to empower people to be true to themselves. Now, if you have a question, you call in at 347-838-9142, and Annie, the moderator, will get you in. And during the show, if you have a picture of you or someone you know, you can text a photo to her, or she's got a way that you can do that, to Lorelei at thrivetypes.com. Anyway, get ready for an amazing reading with her this evening. And she's already got some pictures that I sent her this week. And so she's going to be reading some people that I know. And so this is going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to share. Okay, now let's bring Lorelai in. Hello, Lorelai.
Hello, Pam.
All right, welcome to the show. Great. We're happy to have you here. I mean, there are so many things that I want to ask you, and there's a lot of questions about, I guess, what I would like to know is how can you look at someone's eyes and read them the way you do? It's not iridology. That's why I've been telling everybody, no, this is not iridology. It's just something that I guess that you have worked out and you're learning about all the things that you have studied over the years. Is that right?
That's right. And so we're iridology is looking at the patterns in the irises, the specific physical patterns in the eyes. I'm actually reading the energy of the eyes. So everyone's familiar with the phrase, eyes are a window to the soul. I so believe that's true, and I believe actually that we all read each other's eyes. We all see each other's souls through our eyes. It's just that most of us don't have any idea what it is that we're seeing. So we're reading it subconsciously, and I have some ways of making that all conscious so we can see what's actually here in each of us and celebrate the beauty in each of us, be authentic, and make choices that really support us being ourselves. So I'm happy to give you some examples of what I see. So
okay.
if I just use like ordinary English, we look at some people and we notice maybe that their eyes are really intense. Like we might feel intimidated when we look at them. Or we might look at some people and see that they're very, they just seem very soft and sweet. And those are actually examples of these archetypes called thrive types that we're reading in people.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
But you say you can also tell about people's talents in their eyes?
I can. So how do I say? So, like, we all...
I don't want to get too far ahead here. Go ahead and just share what you want to share with us.
Sure. So, well, we all have things that we're passionate about. We all have things that we love. And we don't realize, but the energy of who we are, the way it shines through our eyes, it actually expresses what we most want in the world. So, like, those people that want to have a really deep connection, they look more deeply at people. Like, there are all sorts of ways we share about ourselves. You know, so the talents for it's thrive types, thrivetypes. So there are seven different talents, and they share what we're really good at and what we love. I could go into examples of the seven talents specifically. What do you think would be helpful? Oh, and I guess let me say I'm going to give one other example too. So I mentioned that we all know the phrase "eyes are a window to the soul." We also all have the example of how when we meet someone wearing dark sunglasses and we can't see their eyes, we're usually frustrated. We know that there's things that are missing. And it's because, again, we all read information in each other's eyes. We get a sense whether people are connecting with us. We get a sense of whether they're happy or frustrated. There's just so much that we read. And so this is how you can get a sense listening. Like, you know that you read eyes too. It's just that you don't always have a sense of what it is because there's so much that you take in. It's not just people's mood. It's all this information about them. And it's from patterns of looking at different people in our life that we've sort of chosen that some people are safe or some people are friendly or even some people are attractive or that someone might be good to work for us to do something. It's all from reading people's eyes.
Well, when you heard people say that I fell in love with him at first glance, you know, how would you say, what were they reading there?
And so that exactly, this is when two people like spot each other across a crowded room and they both had that sense of like, aha, like there's my soulmate, there's my person. What actually is happening is it's when we see someone across the room that fits our really early childhood patterns and we so are getting like the soothing love that feels really deep and really old and touches us so well. And when two people are that for each other, that's when they have that immediate strong reaction across a crowded room. And this is sort of a tricky thing because in some ways it's actually not the best thing for us, but it does touch in really deeply to something meaningful.
Okay. Well, tell us about about communicating with our eyes with people. Again, you said we do communicate all the time, and I guess I think about the women over there in Iran where all they have showing is their eyes, and they, you know, they're covered up from head to toe. They have to really learn how to work with their eyes expression to make contact.
And I think that we make so much really impactful connection with our eyes, and in that way it's sort of easy for them because at least they have the most relevant parts showing. Maybe it would be helpful that if I talked about the seven talents a little, and I think that'll give a little bit more of an example of, and I can talk about what it looks like in people's eyes a bit too. So some people, you might notice when you look at them, their eyes, sometimes they don't have great eye contact. Their eyes might move around in different directions all over the place when they're talking. And what's really happening there is that they have lots of different ideas, and they're actually processing lots of different ideas all at the same time. And people that, these are people that are naturally creative. They're sort of out-of-the-box thinkers. They really care about what's pleasurable to them. And so their eyes are just sort of darting all over with different ideas they're thinking about, and whatever pleasurable idea or pleasurable physical experience around them gets their attention. And so in the talents, they have artisan talent, and it's about creativity and pleasure. And so their eyes are moving around to all these interesting ideas and experiences. So, for example, people know the phrase like squirrel or shiny. Those are people that have this sort of creativity, and it's this natural ability of theirs to go to what's new that you see in their eyes moving around all over when you talk with them. So like another example is another talent is called sage. It's about communication and community. So they deeply value playfulness. And they care about the flow and the rhythm of groups. They want everyone to have a really good time, to be playing and networking. And there's a flowing movement, sort of if you imagine, if you imagine like smoke coming up from a candle and the swirling flame, or you know, the swirl of the smoke above the flame, there's this playful swirl of people together. And that's the movement that you actually see in their eyes. Their eyes have that sort of flowing movement.
Okay.
Okay, so those are two talents.
Okay, now that's when you're looking at some. Say I came to you and said, okay, I would like for you to read my eyes because I want to do a career change. Could you tell me from looking at my eyes what would be a good career for me?
I definitely can with someone. So I gave it, these are two examples of talent. So there are seven. And just for example, if I were looking at someone that had both of these talents, because people have three. So if someone had artisan, where they were very creative, sort of out-of-the-box thinkers that valued pleasure, and they also had sage, which is about communication community, I know that they would need to do something where they can be creative, they can share their opinion. They need to be able to have choices and make choices. They need to be in an environment that's really pleasurable for them. Chances are, there needs to be color, a really good sound, or really good natural light. And in terms of sage, they need to be around other people and part of a group. So they need a little bit of one-on-one time or private time from their artisan. And they need to be in groups where they're really playing and interacting with people and having fun. So pleasure and playfulness is really important to them. So, for example, they might be great at marketing. They're great at creatively coming up with a way to communicate and tell a story about something. And they would not be very good at sitting in front of a computer by themselves doing the same thing over and over. That would make them miserable. So, very much so, I see what people's talents are, what they naturally are, and I can help suggest to them what careers would be the most fitting for them or how to tune the career that they're in so that it is more fulfilling and they're more successful. And I also use on the other side of helping companies hire people that are a great fit for the role, for the team that they work with, for the culture.
Well, I could see that would be great to know for a company to have you check your eyes and say, this person will fit the job that you've got here. So, what does masking mean when you,
great.
You say
so,
that?
So when I talk about thrive types. Thrive types are lots and lots of different traits. I want to give a little bit more of an overview. So thrive types are archetypes for thriving. They're a rich set of archetypes. I love them in particular because they're so much more complex than some other systems that have very few categories. In thrive types, I have so many options. I look at talents. I've talked a little about those. There are 7, and each person has 3. And then I also look at pacing or rhythm, the rhythm at which we go through life. I look at how people make decisions, how they communicate, what motivates them, how they protect themselves, and I also look at consciousness. And so we have a set of traits in these that are natural and authentic to us. We have them before we're born, all of them except for defenses and how people protect themselves. That forms in the first couple of years of our life. But then as we grow up, as we're going through childhood, particularly when we're young, we desperately need love and attention. Like, that's our job as babies and young children, is to get love and attention from the people around us, typically our parents and any other caregiver. And we'll do whatever's needed. And so sometimes our parents very explicitly tell us, be this way, do this thing, don't do this. But more often, there are subtle messages that our parents don't even realize they give us. And they give us more attention when we behave in certain ways. And so everyone can pick up what I call masking, ways of being inauthentic, just not true to ourselves. And we do this to just get that love and attention, and so we end up learning. It's like putting on a mask, like for Halloween. Like, we pretend to be a way that we're not. And people can do this their whole lives. Like, some people, the masking is so heavy that they had to do so many certain things in order to survive childhood, you know, to thrive in childhood, that they've chosen careers or choose relationships all for masking. And it means they're doing things that aren't authentic for them. So everything that they do from masking requires so much more work on their part. They get more tired, they get exhausted, they're not happy. Their life isn't fulfilling. And usually people can sense that there's something that's just not quite right, and people don't like them as much. It's just a very frustrating pathway. So some people have a lot of masking, but most of us have like a mixture of some masking. As we grow up and we generally become more of who we are, we let the masking kind of loosen and fall away. But for almost all of us, when we get stressed, when we get scared, just like if we're going on a job interview or we're going on a date or we're even just going online to do online dating, our masking shows up. And then we set ourselves up to make choices in the world that aren't true for us and aren't authentic. So not only knowing who we are, but really understanding what our masking is and seeing how we trick ourselves to be inauthentic are so important.
Well, everything you said I can relate to, and I understand that with the masking. And there are some people that I've met and I'm going, I cannot read that person. And I know it's in the eyes because they're saying one thing, but their eyes are saying something else, right?
That's right. And so they're masking really doesn't actually show through our eyes. Masking shows through our behavior or the way we dress ourselves. So, for example, I gave 2 examples of those talents, artisan and sage. And so I particularly had a bunch of artisan masking as a child. And that's because, well, I had it through a lot of my adulthood, too. And it's because my father was an artisan. And so my dad loved pleasure. He loved music and used all kinds of interesting ideas. And so I discovered that if I was more interesting, if I brought him new things, if I connected with him about music, I'd get more attention from him. So I learned to do that in the world, thinking that was the way one got attention. So when I was first learning about thrive types, like realizing how this showed up in all sorts of people, and I applied it to my own dating experiences, I realized that when I did online dating, I usually picked photos that showed me trying to look like an artisan. I'd be in a zany pose or a strange context, or I picked myself with a weird haircut or weird clothing, something to try to appeal to artisans, where I was trying to look like an artisan, but it really didn't work all that well because I really don't have artisan talent myself. And another example of how sage, which I said is about communication and community, how that can show up. A lot of men will have facial hair to try to look like a sage because sages, there's a playfulness that shows in their eyes, but they often are about communication and talking, and they make all kinds of sounds. And so they wear like a goatee or something like that to draw attention to the mouth on their face. Or women, right, we don't grow facial hair, but instead they have jewelry, so like a piercing by their lip to try to bring more attention to their mouth. Or sometimes like you know, brighter lipstick, more lipstick. All kinds of ways people do this. Maybe I'll share about another talent too. A very common one is called priest or priestess. It's about vision and inspiration. People that see not only how things are now, but they see possibility and potential. They want people to stretch and reach and grow for all they can be and be really true. So priests have an intense energy that comes out of their eyes. And in our U.S. culture, we idolize sort of priest energy. We think that that's what women should be. So a lot of us, even from not from our families, but just from the culture, we're taught that we should have priests. And so women that don't have it or women that want to look like they have more of it, they wear really intense dark eye makeup. The whole thing with eyeliners and just making your eyes look really intense, it's where women are trying to look like priests.
Okay.
All kinds of ways it shows up. And that's been the trick when I read people. There are all kinds of ways that people present, but when you look at the eyes, that's how you really can tell what's true.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and listen to all this again. It's really interesting. Well, now, let's go on back to the matchmaking. But you said it's first is to match worldview, consciousness, then defense, preventing these problems when arise, then talents, then everything else. Talents show our patterns most dramatically. So you can see our talents in our eyes?
Yeah, so I see all these. Yeah, so I see all these different things in people's eyes. So maybe let's say a little bit more about talents. Let me kind of fill them in and give a range, and that way people can hopefully get a sense for themselves, like what might be really true of them. So there are these seven talents. Talk about two at first, so server and priest. I just said a little about priest. Servers are about love. They're about wanting to see and honor every person just as they are. And they're really about loving all life, so animals, kids, plants, like all things like that. They notice if someone's being insensitive, and they want to stop that. They really want everyone to be loving and caring of each other. And then priests, I mentioned, they see not just how people are now, but they see their potential and possibility. They're about vision. They just see that if they feel it so deeply. And they want people to stretch and reach for all they can be. So they notice if people aren't being authentic, if they're not facing something and being true, and they want them to true up. So it's server and priest, both about people. Servers one-on-one, about meeting people right now. And priests are about meeting people's potential, and they're more about groups. They can sense what's possible for a person or for a whole group, for a movement. And I should say, so Pam, you're a great example of someone that has priests, right? So you're bringing all of this uplifting, transformational experience to people, right? Helping them connect to their deeper selves and the deeper universe. So then the next two talents, right? And you said that's true of you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So then I said a bit about the next two talents a bit. So I said artist and creativity. Those are people. Well, so those two are both about the space between. I would say sage is the space between people. They're about community and communication. They want this easy, flowing, rhythmic experience between people to build larger and larger community. So they notice that the group is stuck and do something to get it flowing. And then artisans are about the space between what exists. They're the ones that are about creativity, totally out-of-the-box stuff. They notice not what's here, but new things, new, pleasurable, unique, interesting things. So all kinds of sensual pleasure, you know, sight, touch, sound, all those things. And they bring all these cool new ideas and cool new experiences in for other people. They're all about freedom. And so they notice that things are ordinary and do something to make it more interesting. And then two more talents are about action. Those are king and warrior. King is rare. They're about power, building power. And they don't take action themselves. They direct other people to take action. So they build a whole empire of resources. And they notice incompetence. If you can't do what you say you can do, you're useless to them. So, like, off with your head. They don't want you on their empire, on their team. They know destruction is important to making something new. And lots of people want to be kings. It's great. People, we play with all kinds of things. Like, everyone wants to be a king, usually. Or, well, so then warriors. Warriors are also about action, but they're the ones that take action themselves. They want things to be grounded and practical and real and efficient, effective, like forward-moving. And they notice waste. And then the seventh talent is called scholar. They're about integration and assimilation. They're the ones building knowledge. They're drawing everything inwards to connect everything together in a map of information to build deeper meaning. and they notice missing and wrong information. So these are seven talents, and you can see more about them on thrivetypes.com. So each person has three of these, and this is the best way of recognizing our patterns in dating. So I, for example, I have scholar, warrior, and sage talents. Scholar is about knowledge, warrior is about efficiency and effectiveness, and then sage is about communication and community. So, and sages are great at seeing patterns. So I see patterns in people, and I help them have new understanding so that their lives are more effective in whatever they do. So in matchmaking, so I have scholar, warrior, and sage. And in matchmaking, it turns out, I should say just in dating, all of my life, I was always dating artisans. I had no idea I was doing this until I learned how to see, realized how to see all this in people's eyes. And it, as you can tell from my earlier conversation, I was trying to get approval from my father, and so I was looking for all these people that were artisans. Now, I didn't know I was doing this, but on my online dating photos, I was showing up like an artisan in my photos, and I would write about things that were cool and interesting, like an artisan. And I was looking for people to pick to write to that I could tell had artisan. Now, I didn't know I was doing this, but I was looking for that, like, zany, sparkly look in people, because those are the people I wanted approval from still, just from growing up. And I didn't know I was doing that, right? I'm in my 30s, and I'm looking for people like my dad. It's kind of crazy, but we all actually do this. So with matchmaking, people typically look for someone like a parent, and sometimes they rebel, and they look for people totally different than their family of origin, but that's still defined by, kind of controlled by who a parent was. And then a second kind of like a lesson that people often go through in relationships is they choose people that are very different than them. They choose opposites, because we're taught opposites attract. And it's really where we think we're not complete and we need something other than what we naturally have, and we're scared of being seen. So if we pick someone so different than us, they can't see us and we feel safe. And this big journey that I do with matchmaking is I help people learn to see other people that are like them. So the people that are like them are actually their soulmates. And it's not until we love enough of who we are that we're able to see people that are like us, because any ways that we judge ourselves, we judge the people like us and they become invisible and we never see them in the world. So these seven talents that I talked about are the best way of seeing our patterns. I mentioned that I had dated artisans so much of my life. And when I finally realized about the talents and learned about myself, and I thought about, oh, dating a scholar, what would it be like to date someone like me? Because scholar is my first talent, and the order is really important. And it turned out I didn't know how to see scholars in the world, because I was actually still judging me, so I was judging them. And my mom has server talent, that's her main one. And I, trying to ask out scholars, I ended up asking out servers. And I knew that there was no way I wanted to go through a whole bunch of my life dating people like my mom after just dating people like my dad. So I took a break, and I didn't date for a while until finally I could see scholars. But I was having to sort this out all on my own and try to find these people that were like me. And I did, and I finally started dating scholars and been dating people more and more like me. And so I try to help people get through this much faster. You know, find people, find soulmates, find people like them much faster. And so how I match people, talents are this great way for seeing our patterns, but really they're not the most important thing. The most important thing is consciousness or worldview. That's one of the archetypes, one of the traits that I look at in people. So worldview describes how conscious we are. And if we don't find someone that's as conscious as us, we really can't meet each other very well, and it's very frustrating for both people. One person feels like the other isn't showing up enough, and the other person feels like they're never going to make it, like there are always more expectations. And then the second trait that I match people with, the set of traits called defenses, it's how we protect ourselves. It particularly shows up when we're stressed, but it's sort of there all the time. You can see like the opposites in defenses, and that some people like to have things structured and organized and planned and precise and on time, and they like to face things directly. And then the other side of the defense, the opposite, is people that are flexible. They're adaptable and easygoing and spontaneous, and they don't like to face conflict when it shows up. And when you get two people together that are opposite, it's a real problem when there's a problem. When the issue shows up, it's a mess. So I match people first in worldview, which is consciousness, and then the second trait I match are defenses, so that if a problem comes up, and because in all relationships, things arise, the fences don't cause a problem on their own. People generally can either give each other a lot of space and be flexible, or they face things directly in a fiery way, but they can really meet each other and be structured. And then when those are close enough, then I match people for talent. So the main thing I'm doing when I help people with online dating, I love helping people with online dating, is I'm screening through for people that are conscious enough, you know, enough of a similar defense, but the talents, and finding people that have the same talents. So with all those different talents, there's just so much diversity in who people are. So I've matched so many couples, and it's just so great for them when they're finally with someone that's similar.
Well, I would say that's amazing. And I love it that you can do that. Well, Lorelai, we've got several people online that want to ask you a question. Would you like for me to bring someone in and let you talk to them?
Great, sure. I'm very happy to do that.
Okay. Well, the first person that's on is Jay from Canada. Let's bring him in. Hi,
oh,
Jay.
Oh, great.
Hey there. How's it going?
Hi, Jay. I just saw that you sent me an email, so I've got a photo. This is great.
You're welcome. This is a great conversation. Really lovely conversation. Thank you.
Great. And I say, and normally when I work with people, just I have them send me photos of their parents, and I get several photos of them. So I might not be quite as accurate with just one photo of you, but this is great. You sent me a great photo where I can see your eyes really well, and I can see your face, and it looks like you're relatively natural in this photo. So this is perfect. So do you want me to just tell you a little about you, or do you have a specific?
Yes, it's still matchmaking. You're talking about that. And going, I'm having really difficult finding someone. I'm going out there, spiritual groups and things like that. And it's interesting right now because just where I'm at right now in my own place, basically, my own heart. And it's interesting right now. I don't know what's up with that, but I don't know. From my eyes, I just wonder what your thought is and what do I look for?
That's great. Well, so my sense is that you are one of these more creative people, so choice and freedom is really important to you. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. So you have the artisan talent, and then you also, and that one can be a little more introverted, but you look like you also have some extroverted side. Actually, I'm trying to think the order. Well, so the three talents that I see you as having are artisan, sage, and scholar, artisan, scholar, sage. But those three. So you're creative and you also love learning, right? You're always just reading different things, absorbing different things. You love to like learn things and talk, share with people about them. Is that right also?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then also you have, and this is the more extroverted side, you have a playful side. You do actually love groups and communities and you love playful interaction with them just for the purpose of play and feeling the whole group together. Is that right also?
Oh, yeah, just once in a while, just getting out there and just, you know, being me.
Yeah. Well, so you're an example of, you're an example of someone, you're in between introverted and extroverted, and then because artisan is your first talent, so artisans are, well, one is that they're very diverse, they do all kinds of different things, and they're scared of being trapped in general, right? They want to always have their freedom, and so having an artisan connect with another artisan is the best thing, but it's a little challenging to connect with them because, one is they're spontaneous. They don't like to make plans ahead of time, and so you never know if they're going to show up at an event or not. And so even if you saw an artisan at an event and you were trying to connect with them and trying to plan with them, they might be much more spontaneous and not scheduling and not planning. And if you had too much energy going in their direction, they might sense that and they might want to, like, move off in another direction to have more space. So artisans connecting with artisans is kind of tricky. So the trick is to do something really, really pleasurable with another artisan. And since artisans can be interested in all kinds of different pleasure, you really want to do the ones that are so pleasurable for you and find the artisans that love that kind of pleasure also. Like, so you might really love music or food or something about design. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes sense. Just talking about really good conversation about just, you know, people's journeys or just learning something new. It just really inspires me.
Yeah, that's great. So something new, unusual, different. So any kind of like cutting edge, novel, new, interesting thing. Yeah, so you've got a mixture. You have some sensual pleasure, that's important to you, but you also really love ideas, creative ideas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so wherever, so do things that involve creative ideas, do social things that involve creative ideas, and pay attention to who those other people are that have the most creative, interesting, unusual things to say. You know, and even the people that get bored quickly, they're likely to be artisans.
Okay.
Right? So, and that's why it's a little tricky, and you want to tempt them with doing really pleasurable things, really interesting new ideas, going to totally new places, or a really interesting sensual experiences. Those are the things to do on a date.
Yeah, just looking for those people there's like that. So it's just, it's really, really interesting time for myself in pursuing a partner, yeah.
Yeah, so are you doing online dating?
I'm on one site, yeah, one site, like quite a bit, so.
So the thing to do is to look at your profile and see how much you talk about the things that are really pleasurable for you, or how much you talk about cool new ideas you're interested in. You know, and online dating profile for you, like you might feel like it gets stale and you might need to freshen yours up more. Because the more it's interesting to you, the more energy you'll want to have there and the more interesting it will be to other people. And you really want to get the people that are interested in that new, unusual, interesting stuff.
Okay. That's awesome. And I'll keep being myself and going out to different places, being innovative. Actually, I'm planning on taking a comedy workshop, actually, improv workshop, actually, next month. So that should be interesting.
That's great, right? Yeah, because improv is very artisan, and then comedy is very stage. So you've got two of your talents in there. So you might have somewhat educated, informed comedy also. That might be a starting point in how you create things.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, okay. Well, thanks so much for the information. It's been great, you know, talking to you. I look forward to listening to the rest of the program. This really sounds really interesting. So thank you for the really great reading. Thank you for the insight. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Well, Lorelai, give everybody your information, how they can reach you after the show if they want to have a real reading, a full reading with you.
Great. Did you want me to share that right now? I didn't quite...
Yes, share that right now.
Sure. So my website is thrivetypes.com, thrivetypes.com, and you can read a lot more about all the terms that I'm using there. My email address is lorelei@thrivetypes.com, so Lorelei is L-A-U-R-E-L-I @thrivetypes.com, and my phone number is 720-352-2434, and I work with people by video all around the world, so... send me photos, we meet by video, I do a reading ahead of time, and then we tune it when we're on video together. So I'm so excited to be here. And
well,
be
that
sharing.
Is exciting. Yes, and thank you. Okay, well, let's, we've got a couple more people. Let me bring Katie in from Kentucky. And people remember her. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Katie.
Great.
I've got a couple of emails, but they come from... Oh, actually, they're both in the same phone number, so maybe this is yours.
That's
are
me.
You, is one of, okay, great. You've got glasses on your head in one of the photos?
Yes, sunglasses. That was just now.
Okay, great, great. So let's see. And this way, right? You look a tiny bit different. In the two photos, this is great. This is why I like to see so many photos. So you're going to have a mixture of artisan and priest, and in one photo you look more like artisan-priest, and in the other photo you look more like priest-artisan. So what this means is that, again, so freedom, creativity, choice is really important to you, and you particularly, the sensual pleasure aspects are really important. You can be really impacted by the environment when it's not a good fit for you. So like mm-hmm. loud noises might be a problem, or colors that don't really feel good to you, things like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true.
And then you also, so priest is about inspiration and vision. You see not only how things are right now, but you see that potential and that possibility. And emotionally, you feel like the angst of when things haven't reached that yet. Is that true?
That is true.
And then, so this is how we distinguish between being priest first and priest second. And let's go with the priest second in this one photo. So
can when I people have tell you one thing? Oh, sorry.
Sure,
I will
go ahead.
Say when the first photo, that's the one with the sunglasses on my head, that one actually had like a filter on it when I took it in my car, so that one's probably not as accurate as the others. because it if that helps.
Okay, great. Well, let me say, and it's more the energy than like any filter or anything that shouldn't matter. Well, I'll tell the difference between priest first, second, and third. And I know you don't have it third. So when priest is first, and Pam is a great example, I think, of having priest as her first talent. So when it's first, people look outwards and see so much that could be better out in the world. They look at people, and it's like they almost don't see that person. They see this, like, radiating rainbow possibility for this person. And because they look out so big and so deeply, their eyes actually tip outwards. And they're just so when someone with priest is looking at you, they look almost past you because they see this potential. But so priest first, it's directed outwards. So for other people, for groups, they see ways things could be better. And then when priest is second, a good bit of that intention gets turned in on themselves, and they sort of say, like, oh, I haven't reached my potential yet. I should be better. I need to be really good. And they usually have a challenge with perfectionism.
Yeah, I'm definitely the second.
Yeah, that's it. So, and you probably, because in that one photo, you look a little bit more like a priest first there. I'm going to guess that probably you had a parent that had priests. You might have had a parent that had some strong opinions about things.
Yes.
So what's happening is, so as you said, your mom. So what happens is you naturally have priests, and your mom also has priests. So part of your growth lessons is learning to distinguish, like, what's you and giving yourself really permission to be you, whereas part of you doesn't want to be like her, and so, like, sorting that all out. And you, so sometimes your mom had really strong opinions in a way that was too hard on other people.
And yes, since this is with priests,
right, and with pre-second, you want to be so good, you're super careful to not be too strong. And so, so some of your lessons are really being, like, loving and gentle and trusting yourself and believing in your intentions and knowing that that's enough and that that's okay.
Interesting. You hit that on the head for sure.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. That's awesome. That's very insightful.
Great. Really so happy you. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I was writing. I'm very satisfied. Yes. I'm going to look more into it and keep listening.
Oh, it's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you for calling, Katie. And listen in to the end of the show because we've got more to talk about. Okay. Let's do one more. And then I'm going to ask you some questions about me and Annie, the moderator, and some other pictures I sent you, see what you can share. Next lady is Cindy from Delaware. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Hi, okay. Cindy. I see you sent me a couple of photos. All right. Well, let's see. So yours I can see well enough, and the other one is really fuzzy, so I'll just tell you what I can see from the really, really fuzzy bit I get. And
right.
I say, is this a partner?
Somebody I would like to be. I feel as though he's my soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's see. Well, so let's share about you first. So it's great. We have themes, and I should say, so the talents that are typically most interested in transformation and spirituality are priest and artisan. And so we're getting lots of priest and artisan today. So I think priest is your first talent, right? So you have that first. If you were listening earlier, you see outwards from yourself of all these ways that people and groups and all kinds of ways the world can be better than it is. Is that right?
Yes.
Right? And you're really passionate. You feel things really strongly.
Yes.
Right? So some of the lessons with this, particularly because you had it first, and you have some other traits too, like you're structured and defensive. Like there are ways that you can be really clear in knowing what you want and speaking it. It's about learning who are the people that are really ready to hear it, and for the people even that are ready, how do you say it in ways that they can most get your message? Right? Because sometimes you can be a little too passionate and a little too strong, and then they don't take it, and it's so frustrating for you. Right? Because you really want to make an impact and make a difference.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so I think, so you also have some of that artisan, so freedom is really important to you as well, right?
Yes.
Great. And then, so if I talk a little about the man, so again, he is like super, super fuzzy, but I can tell from not only the pose in the photo, but just the energy in kind of his face area. His body, energy in his body is so important to him. He looks like he probably has some of the warrior that's about efficiency and effectiveness and just moving everything forward, producing results. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and this is great for me too, because I get to learn on this call. Like, I really can't see his eyes, but there's still a bunch of energy from where his eyes are that I can get. He looks like he's generally close to you in worldview, so consciousness is really good. And then defensive, you are more structured, and it looks like he's definitely got some structured side. So he's either structured himself or he's switchable. People that are switchable go back and forth between structured and flexible. So he's got enough structure to meet you. So those are the most important things, and those are really good. And then he could have some artisan. He's got either artisan or sage, and I can't quite feel he could have both of those. But we know he has warrior. He has, like, artisan. I can't quite tell if he's, like, some artisan sage warrior sort of stuff. So you've got artisan in common. So there's definitely creativity. So pleasure and creativity is really important. And then this is where you have two different talents here, priest and warrior, except that you have like a bit, I'll just kind of exaggerate a little, you have like some fierceness in your priest. Like you really want things moving forward. And his warrior has like this strength in wanting things to move forward too. So even though you're different, there are some ways that you have a similarity in the, it's just like the intensity of your energy. Does this make sense to you?
When you say the strength to move things forward, I want things to move forward, but he's fighting me on it.
Oh, well, so, okay, this is where, so, all right, so, oh, goodness. So you're going to learn a little bit here about artisan and warrior, too, and he may have these two inside of him. So artisan and warrior are the most difficult to have together, and so he may have artisan and warrior in him, and you have artisan in you, and he has warrior. So this is a tension he feels in himself, potentially, and a tension between the two of you. And then there are ways your priest plays into this too. So warriors can be incredibly stubborn, right? They can like plow through things and bulldoze through things, and they can be incredibly stubborn and refuse to move forward. And artisans can be rebellious and stubborn. So, So an artisan and warrior, artisans want to do things differently all the time. They want the new interesting experience. Yeah. And warriors always want to do things the same way. They're like, this is what works. Let's just do it this way. I don't want to change it up. You have to be convinced to change things up. And so he has some artisan warrior torque potentially fighting inside of him. And then his warrior and your artisan can get into some tussle where you want to change it up and he doesn't. But then also priest and artisan can also have some tension, and you would have some of this in you. And the woman that just called has this. And then your priest and his artisan. So your priest sees what's possible, what's better, and you so want that. You want movement towards it. And artisan can be rebellious and can feel trapped by someone else's idea of what they want for them. Does this kind of make some sense?
Yes, it does. It does.
But so the beauty here, at least about that you're both structured, so when two people are structured and you both have a lot of structure, there's like, it's like feisty and fiery and sparks fly, but both people are really deeply there and they stay in the intensity of that. And so there's a softening that happens. So there's a way that you need to give him a whole bunch of freedom, right? So sort of like almost like saying you're here and you're available and you're ready. And it's totally like you want him to have all the freedom that he wants. And you know, it's so important that he does it the way he wants. And you're just here and you're available. And we know that there's, like, war and deep stuff that you want, but he's totally got to choose it on his own. And there's some of the feistiness that he actually likes.
Yes.
So you got to play like this funny little paradoxical game of, like, fiery and feisty and really spacious.
Okay. So I just need to give him his space.
You need to give him, well, there's like a reading him a little bit. Yeah, so like sometimes he needs space. He totally needs space and to choose. But then when he comes in with the feisty energy that he brings, you want to meet him in some of the feistiness too. Like make the feistiness playful. Like instead of getting serious and intense, like make it playful.
Yeah, we do that. And then I think he starts getting kind of nervous and pulls away.
Well, and it may be you're too intense. So if he's switchable, this is where he might slip at some point where he doesn't trust himself and he goes flexible. And so that's when he really does need space. So you really want to match him well in either spacious or more intense and use him as a guide. And so you want to be tuning in the moment as he does this. These are just all these tricks with defenses and how people play with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because we were being playful and spicy, you know, and a few days ago, and we were having fun with it and everything, and then all of a sudden he pulled away, and I was just like, what's going on? Everything okay? And he's not responding to me, and then he was finally like, just been really busy. It's all good. It's just like, okay.
And that's the other
like
thing.
Like, you almost have
him
there, and then he pulls away.
Yeah, and so warriors are big multitaskers, and so he probably does pack his schedule a good bit, and he is busy. But so this is where you match enough in worldview. You have some differences in defenses, and so that's where when it gets stressful, that's what comes up. So matching his defense is the key. So in all these traits you'll see on the website, people have they have certain like types that they are, but then everyone has the possibility of growing to be fluid. And also in the talents, I have four lessons that people mature through. So part of the priest lessons are like being totally okay with the journey and trusting the process. So that's part of what's coming up for you. And then if you get scared, you're more likely to push in more and get more structured. And if he's switchable, that would actually push him further away. So you're having the opportunity to grow in your defenses and to get more spacious and trust the process. So it's growing in your defenses and growing in your talents. And I say, so this is where, right, you match in worldview. You match partway in defenses, but your talents, you have some match, but you also have some differences, and that's part of why this is coming up. So you're more matched with him than lots of people are.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds good. Gave me a lot of insight.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm loving what you're sharing with these people because, I mean, I understand, you know, we do want to know how to connect more with someone and, you know, why is this not working and why do they act that way when I say this or do that? And this is great. I really appreciate you being on the show tonight. But I hope you're not worn out. We've still got about 8 more minutes on the show, 8 or 10, whatever we want to use. But would you look at me and Annie, my best friend and the moderator? I would love for you to give me a little bit of insight about us. I mean, we just fell in love with each other when we first met each other. You know, we just said, wow, like soulmate.
Exactly. And friends, we're usually really great at picking friends that are a great match for us. So let's see. So I've got, I looked at your photos and kind of prepared a little bit ahead of time too. So, all right. So Pam and Annie. So Pam, you and I talked a little bit when we met, and then so I shared a little bit here. So Pam, inspiration and vision, right, this priest talent is so important to you, right, seeing not only how things are now but what's possible. And you still want to bring those kinds of experiences to people. And priest is one of the more extroverted talents, right? You can sense what's happening with many people at one time. So that's part of why, right, you hold great presence on the radio. And you also have the artisan, right? It's about freedom and creativity and, you know, choice. It's so important to you. And looking at Annie has some of the talents that are the same and then some that are similar. So Annie looks to me like she's got some of the sage talent. So she's extroverted in a really playful way of loving the community, loving the playfulness and interaction of everyone together. And then I also think that she's either got priest or server talent, but she might actually have priest second talent. So, and I don't know if Annie's in a place and she could actually say anything, but then Annie might, right? So Annie, you might see all that potential and possibility, but direct some of that in on yourself, where you so want to be good. You want to be of service. You want to be able to contribute and support. And if you had server, there would be an aspect of that too. But so you want to bring community together for the purpose of transformation and authenticity, right? So you might both have priest, and even if Annie has server instead of priest, because she has sage and you have priest as your first talent, those are both extroverted. You both connect in a big way with the whole community, right, and wanting everyone to be playing together in a transformational way, sort of a way to think about this together.
That sounds good.
Does that, does that make sense about what you know about Annie?
Yes. Annie, do you feel that way?
Yes, and I feel that way about us together because we, like when you do your workshops and stuff, and I do feel I feel myself as a server a little bit just because I want everyone to get along all the time. But I like what you said about the stage talent too. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so stage is the whole community together and real like playfulness and flow of everyone together. So stage wants everyone to be in flow and participating, and server wants every individual person to be honored. So you might have that like stage and server together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yes,
it's possible that your and it's possible that your third talent could be artisan. So do you particularly love beautiful things?
Yes.
Yeah, so you might both even have artisan together, right? So you might have extroverted talents and artisan creativity together.
What do you think, Drew?
Yes, I do. I think that everything you said is just right on with the way I see Annie, and I'm sure the way she sees me. And we just we really like what the other brings to our tables when we're together, you know, there's just great love there.
Yeah.
And Annie brings us just lots and lots of openness to be of support in whatever way really is going to serve. Whatever, how do I say, I think Annie, you're probably very, very accepting of all kinds of ways that things show up, right? People calling in and what's needed for the show and what really supports Pam. Like, you are such a great partner, such a great supportive partner.
Yes, she is.
Yes. We have lots of fun together.
We do.
Yeah.
We're playmates together. Well, that is, I love that. Did you want to read Annie and her husband? I think you got a picture of them.
Yeah, did you get a picture of us?
Let's see. Let's go to those photos. Oh, yeah. So let's see. So well, this is interesting, right? So I have photos from some different time periods.
Yes.
And so I'm definitely him in person. Earlier on, it looks like he's got a little bit more of the rebellious streak himself. He might, does that make some sense in him?
A rebellious streak?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Rebellious. Like, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I may only have one photo of him, like an older photo. So he would, he looks like he has some strength and clarity and sometimes strong opinions about how he likes things, particularly in a sensual pleasure way, like visuals about things. Like he might have really strong opinions in that way about how things look. Does that make some sense?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so he's got the artisan, and he might, this is in, maybe that's, yeah, so maybe I only have this one photo of him. Trying to make sure I have the right photos. He could actually even have the warrior in him, too. So I'm looking at a photo where your son is, like, in his teens. So this is a while ago.
Yes.
He could have some of that warrior in him, too, where he has some, he wants, like, everything to be done differently in new, interesting, unusual ways. And he also has some tension of wanting everything to be done the same and, like, follow a process and be predictable.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? He has both of those?
Yes. Yes, he has both those.
Yeah, great. So he's got some artisan and warrior. So there's so sensual pleasure is a really big thing that both of you share, right? So there's going to be beauty and pleasurable experiences in the world. Like those are the big things that bond you together.
Yes,
that's the truth.
We've been married for like 31 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And then you might bring in like a little bit more of the playfulness and the soft touch time. Does that make sense too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, like chill out a little bit.
Right, as we were saying earlier, warriors can get a little intense, so he's got a little of that intensity.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Great. Well, that's great.
So that's,
well,
yeah.
Before Lorelai, we have a few more minutes. What about me and Steve? Could you share a little bit about our us together?
Great, great. Okay, yeah, I've got a photo of Steve here. Well, so I think that, so you, it's interesting because there are some ways that Steve is a little bit like Annie. I think that Steve has some of that bigger group playfulness like Annie, like appreciating the whole group and flow together, having a really good time. So you and he both connect to big groups of people, but you do it in different ways. So you do it more for like that growth potential and all that authenticity. And he has it more of the group being connected in community, like in having a really good time together. And I give you an example of one trait where you're, well, does that make sense what I shared about him?
Yes, it does.
Great. And then one example of a trait that's a little different where you've both had to have a little bit more consciousness with each other is I think you're a faster pace, a faster rhythm than he is. And so he's got a more mellow, easygoing style. And you can kind of like zip, 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 zip. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you're going to say, so you're quick-paced and he's much more leisurely paced. So he needs like more space to talk about a topic for a longer period of time, and you'd be more likely to change topics quickly, or you have learned to not interrupt him because you want to, you're ready to move on, and he's not yet.
Yes. I'm sure he'd say yes to everything that you're saying. Yeah, that is, that we are like that. But it makes it good. I do slow down for him and realize I'm going too fast, too quick.
That's right, and that's where you've built enough fluidity in yourself that you can stretch and reach for him. Because it's much harder for him to try to speed up. It uses a lot more energy. And so he probably needs more time, like a little bit of time by himself in his own rhythm and his own pacing, just like you need some time to be able to zip, zip, zip and not hold yourself back. So you learn to get that from other people, you know, and just really support yourself so you have energy to meet each other when you're together. And one trick, if people are quite different in pacing, is it can be great if, like, once a week they sleep together, once or even twice a week for some people, but if they sleep apart in different rooms of the house, because your bodies actually are trying to pace with each other when you sleep together. So if he just notices he's feeling tired and not quite sure why, if he sleeps apart for a night, his body will have a chance to be on its own rhythm and pacing while he sleeps.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. That's really interesting. I can see that. Absolutely.
Yep. So different group things. So you love doing group things together and being part of a group. So that's like your real strength,
yes,
together, being with people.
Okay. Yes. And we are. We're great in a group together. That's for sure.
Great.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful. One more. Now, one more. Please, can you look at Wayne, my son, and just give me just a couple of things, and then I won't ask you for anything else. You are doing so great. Thank you for this show, and we're going to have you back on again and again because we want to get the word out there about you. And be sure, if you want to get in touch with Lorelai, you can go to www.thrivetypes.com. That's thrivetypes.com. Or call her on the phone, 720-352-2434.
Great. So let's share a little bit about Wayne. So Wayne has some talents that are kind of in between two of you. So he looks like he's got some of the creativity and loves freedom and choice and sensual pleasure and cool new ideas. And then I think he also loves community and playfulness and socializing. Does that make some sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so he's got the artisan that's like you, and I think, did I say that, kind of see my notes and look at my photo. Where did this? So I think that, Steve may have the artisan himself too, so you may have that, as, you know, he may have that as well. So all three of you may have the artisan and loving new cool ideas and pleasure. And then Wayne may also love groups just for the playfulness, the togetherness.
of the groups, just like Steve. The difference, though, is that Wayne doesn't have quite as much of the extroverted flavor. He's got a little bit more introverted. So he tends to have more time alone or with fewer people at the time.
He is. Isn't that amazing that you can read that in him? Absolutely. He is. He always say, I'm the introvert. But he can be great in crowds with people. But, boy, he can't handle it for too long, you know.
That's right. It makes him more tired. That's because, right, I think that Sage is likely to be his third talent. So that's why he just doesn't have as much of that capacity to be with lots of people at once.
But he's very creative and has, you know, he loves all new things. Everything's cool, new ideas all the time. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you. Is there anything else you want to share?
Oh, you're welcome. This is great. I do readings with people throughout, you know, all around the world over the web, and I love doing this with people. If people are interested in classes, I just love all of this. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be able to share, and it's great that people called in. It's so much fun for me. Then I say, I'm doing what I love, so I feel energy when I do it, and I want everyone to be doing what they love and to get that kind of energy from just being in the world.
I know, and I do the same thing, and it's wonderful to do what you love to do. Everybody needs to be able to do that. And you can, but sometimes
yes,
they don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I get that a lot. You know, what am I supposed to do when I grow up? But anyway, thank you, Lorelai. You are so special. Anything else?
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to connecting with you more and more.
Yes. Thank you. What a great show. That was fabulous.
Well, we'll make sure that everybody listens to you because I have a lot of people that didn't call in. But we had quite a few people in the chat room, which is good. And I think somebody even sent you a picture. Well, they just need to get in touch with you. You can call Lorelai at 720-352-2434. Okay, everyone, have a great week, and we'll be back on the show next Monday. Thank you, and good evening.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Lorelai.
Thank you.